Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Production.
And our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, well, how you doing today, Nathan?
Loving life. I'm actually really hyper today, so I'm not sure what I'm going to say.
All right. Well, you're going on very little sleep right now. And so, it'll be an interesting episode there.
Okay. We don't want to talk about this because we have to change our rating, but I do want to bring it up.
What?
There's a new country, or no, we've had this country, but is it a, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Our new listeners in
No, it's Japan. Not called that.
It's like, that's not how you pronounce it.
That's not what it's called.
Can you give me the thing? How do you pronounce this?
Okay. Japan.
Okay. Alfonso, how do you say it?
I believe it's Fukuoka.
I like that. We don't have to change our rating.
What did you call me?
Yeah. No, that's the name of the city. It's okay.
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 All right. Well, you guys could Google that, but we have some new listeners. Speaking of new listeners, our podcast is taking off like crazy. Thank you all for your support.
Yeah. So there's one thing I did want to say with all the new listeners. I wanted to say, like, you know, when going back to when we started this, I didn't want to come off like, as it's very nice sunglasses there, Nathan.
It's bright in here. Bright
it's sunny on Planet Cool.
Hey.
When we started this off, it was like never our intention to come off as like we are the experts on theater, the gurus. We were just talking about, when we were getting our start, and this is all stuff that we learned from like the School of Hard Knocks. And so we're just kind of talking about the stuff that we wish we knew when we were starting off.
And I say it all the time. It's our perspective. Take what you can, throw away what you don't want to use. I mean, that's kind of what we've done in our life, right?
Yeah, and anybody's welcome to, disagree, have their own experiences and their own
truth. You'll be wrong, but you can.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, kind of.
That's really the way you want to approach it with everything, right? You want to take as much as you can from everything, but nobody should be that authority.
No.
No.
That's how all these theories in acting have happened.
Right.
Take what works, adapt it to match you, and then grow.
Exactly.
I also want to, this is still a little bit of a sore subject, but we'd always, promise when we were going to do this to keep it real that we would talk about this stuff on the air.
Oh,
and
gosh.
We're talking, because we still don't have a sponsor.
That's true.
You did turn down our only sponsor offer without consulting with me. And, lots of other people have brought this up that listened to it, and they said, well, you should have taken the money because you're talking about it anyway. And so it was Nathan turned down the sponsorship for STDs because he didn't want, the couple guys in the room to be talking. But you know what? It's like, we need the money. So I have personally to try to woo back our sponsorship people. I have got a little something here.
I wish there was an eject button.
This is for the STD, for the sponsor break. Now just picture this. Is something rotten in the state of Denmark? Perhaps your Romeo hath become a little itchy beneath the codpiece. Then thou mayest need Verona Vanish, the official ointment of forbidden Broadway romances, backstage rendezvous, and regrettable cast parties. What?
I literally hate
whether
him.
Your phantom is inflamed, your cats are scratching, or your lameness has become lame miserable.
Michael's the only one laughing. If
return these standing ovations and away from tragic final acts. No business like show business, but some business should be really checked by a physician. So before your next backstage fling, dressing room duet, or emotionally vulnerable encounter after closing night, ask yourself to cream or not to cream. Verona Vanish. Side effects may include jazz hands, excessive monologuing, and spontaneous performances of defying gravity.
We're going to have to change our rating.
This is exactly what we were worried about.
We're literally going to have to change our rating.
We couldn't be getting money for this. You turned it down.
We lost followers. We're going to lose viewership now.
And see, now we're going to about to do that hard left turn into the topic, which we were worried about too. There's no way to transition from that. No.
Well, we're about to
find
out.
What is our topic, Alfonso?
Okay, well.
Oh my gosh.
It's more of an interesting topic that I wanted to bring up. This isn't necessarily even. Hold on. I'm a little bit discombobulated after that one. That threw me off a bit, but.
Opera? What?
Let's get ourselves back on track here. This is more of a topic I wanted to discuss with you guys because I know it's hard. It's a really controversial topic, and it's controversy is what we've tackled. And one of the biggest things right now, biggest controversies, I would say, is the use of AI. And that those sunglasses are not AI. Right
no,
there.
I'm hiding myself. Okay.
The use of AI in
the use of
what
AI
regard?
Specifically, like in theater, right? So, I personally have seen shows where I've seen images where it's AI generated, video generated. I wanted to get your guys' perspective on artificial intelligence and how ethical you think it is. Do you think it's effective? And
well, just, I want to
kind
start
of broad,
with,
but yeah, I'll start you, with you, Nathan.
You did talk about something that I have seen, and I know Mike and I talked about this a couple months back or weeks back. I don't remember about. There's a lot of traffic on social media, Instagram, Facebook. A lot of traffic on that. People will see a post about AI and say, I'm not going to support them if they're using AI. This ad is AI, or
we're not coming to your show. You used AI in the flyer.
I have seen that. And I guess the first response to that is it's your prerogative. I guess if you hate AI, then don't go see it, I guess is the first answer. As far as creativity, I think Alfonso, you know, when I actually looked at AI, I was working on a business proposal for a project. Sorry. Jeez. And you were like, dude, drop it in there. It'll format in the right format for you. Because I was stressing about what do I put first. And I was trying, because I've never done that on my own. And you kind of had me like jump in and do that. And I did it. And I was like, it saved me probably 100 hours. Like, truly, because I'm not that intelligent when it comes to that stuff. But it helped out a lot. So I think for me personally, AI, I think it's a good help point. If you're creative and you have ideas, throw them out there and you need something to help formulate that. I think it's a great option. Now, if you're taking it as your creative voice and it's not you at all, well, obviously there's a fine line. It becomes like, that's not even you. That's not your voice. That's not what you're trying to portray. As far as ads, check out the Upstaging Gentlemen. We did not go to Broadway and put a bunch of billboard signs that aren't even by each other and took a picture. That's not what we did.
What an incredible season that would be,
now
too.
Everybody's going to know.
Well, it's
everybody's
okay.
Gonna know we used AI.
I guess, spoiler alert. But the truth is, I think, as far as that goes, I think use it. I mean, if you could benefit from it, use it and use it. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Well, this argument is not a new one.
Right.
This is an argument that has been going on for generations. And I think you have to, like, really sit there and think about what are you going to call AI? Because, you know, right now, its use of ChatGPT and, you know, stuff like that was what people are talking about. Like, they're just going to ChatGPT and it's doing it for them. But I think what everybody's got to remember is every generation has it easier than the generation before that. Like, do you remember, like, when we were in school and spell check came out?
Yeah.
And
save my life.
And teachers, I remember, threw a fit and they're like, oh, all these people, all they're going to do is just use spell check now. These kids are never going to pick up a dictionary again. They look at them. And, you know, that was our AI back then. And we all used it. And today, you know, honestly, when was the last time anybody picked up a dictionary?
I just say, hey, Siri, tell me what's up.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. But people don't talk about that anymore. It's become acceptable. And you think about musicians. Back in the day, if you wanted an orchestra, you assembled all those instruments.
Now you have samples.
You get samples and keyboards. Yeah. And no, you know, people were upset about that at the time. Like, oh, I went and saw Les Miserables when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and took two of my friends with me. And, you know, they're great violin players, and they were so excited to see the orchestra. In fact, they were more excited about the orchestra than the show, I think. And when we got into the theater down in LA, they ran down the aisle and looked in the orchestra pit, and the look on their face was, I remember, it was priceless, because they saw a couple instruments and several keyboards.
Yeah, doing the samples, basically.
And they're like, what?
Synthesized.
They felt like they're being cheated. And it was like, okay, that's still a form of, you know, I would consider it a form of AI, maybe not in the same AI as like ChatGPT, but it is, you know, something else that is doing the work for you. And you know, how far back do you want to take it? Like, my daughter is an artist. She's a really great painter. And
is that the one that just got valedictorian?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, really. Thank you. But, you know, she paints all the time. She won't paint anything that I want her to paint. But she, like, I always ask her, it's like, you should paint a, I want an old man in the hallway. Just an old man. She like refuses, ticks me off. But, you know, she goes to get her paint at like Hobby Lobby. She'll go and buy all of her paints. And I could just see her having this conversation with, you know, somebody from a few hundred years ago, like, where'd you get those paints? Like, Hobby Lobby. Huh, back in my day, I had to go mix it myself. There weren't no Hobby Lobby. There was no. So, I mean, like, every generation has got something that makes it way easier.
That's actually a great point. My daughter and I got, we weren't arguing. I actually am in support of, if I'm a believer, if you could use it and it helps you and you're going to be able to use it in real life, apply it. Like, you should learn that. I'm a big believer in that. Like, I want to learn the basics so they have the knowledge, but then use the pacifiers, like use the crutches. Natalie, my oldest, she actually, we were in talking, she goes, Dad, if you really think about it, and this is her argument, like with your paint, she's like, well, in school, because I talked about National Geographic and encyclopedias, and I had to explain to my children what an encyclopedia was. And she goes, well, Dad, remember you're talking about encyclopedias. You didn't go to the digging sites and look at fossils and stuff. You got to look into a book and find out. She goes, that's what it is. She kind of equated it to that. I'm like, that's true. Someone did the work to put all that information in the encyclopedias. So we don't have to go and do those digs or whatever you're learning about. I was like, well done, daughter.
Then the encyclopedias became Google,
yeah,
or whatever, yeah, search engine.
At your fingertips.
So it's, I think that, you know, when people jump in on this argument about AI, you really have to define, what are you talking about? And I know artwork is a big thing, and I've heard that argument. Well, you're taking work away from artists when you use that. And, you know, maybe that's a valid argument, maybe not, because like sometimes I'll go on and use AI and I was never intending to hire an artist,
right,
to do it. It was just like, well, this is here, I'm going to use it. But, maybe I don't have the money right then to go out and hire an artist to do it.
Right. You Even just our go- podcast, we wouldn't have hired someone to do that. We just sort of took pictures of us and said, here's our thing, you know, or typed a cool word art or something.
You think about like movies and the use of green screen. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like all like, okay, at what point are you going to just say, hey, technology is completely off limits. Just, you know, do it yourself.
Well, let's go. We'll be devil's advocate. But what about someone that says this song is mine, but AI made it and they didn't have any originality? Is that still considered? Is that okay?
Well, I'll follow, because that was actually my next question. Okay. And I'll elaborate on that a little bit. I think that for us, when we look at art, one of the biggest things is that human connection, that human that created it. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you the question this way. If you listen to a song, Michael, that moved you, but it was generated by AI and a human didn't produce it, would that change your feeling of it?
It would change my feeling of it in a sense that, like, oftentimes when an artist does something, or, you know, they write a song, and yeah, and then you feel like moved by it, then I want to know who that artist is, because it's like, wow, they, like, if you wrote a song, Alfonso, and it connected with me, and I was like, wow, Alfonso feels the same thoughts that I feel on a subject. I want to learn more about him and see what other songs he's written, and such. And I don't know if it would negate it completely if it was written by AI, but you're right. The human connection, if it's completely 100% everything, there's not one human influence on it, I don't know, then yeah, it would be impossible to get that human connection. I mean, if there's none, but typically there is that human connection with a bit of AI in there. And I've seen other people on that argument. I read through the threads on social media, and some people are like, dude, don't use ChatGPT for your art. I mean, if you're going to do that, at least go to Canva. I'm like, well, that's just, right. You're still using, that's still a bit of AI right there to make that. Maybe it's not the full level of ChatGPT, but it's like, at what point in time are people going to draw the line with it? Scripts are another big one, because I know that people are using it to generate their own scripts or their own lyrics. Now, that is something, I did make sure that, like, you know, when I was writing that my Rigby Red stuff, there's none of that was AI generated as for the lyrics. However, I did hire an orchestrator to go through and add stuff, and I am you know, I don't know because I found the guy on Fiverr, but I'm assuming that all those instruments are not live instruments for the price I was paying him. I mean, that would be ridiculous. I'm sure that there was some AI music going on, or at least synthesizers, or you know, something. It sounds good, and I didn't ask him. He just returned the tracks to me, but the singing. That was all AI. I mean, sorry, the singing, none of it was AI. The singing was all real, and the lyrics were all authentic. But yeah, we did use some computer-generated stuff for the music.
Well, and I'm kind of, for me, I'm like 50-50. I don't care. If you want to use AI, use that. Whatever gets you ahead, go for it. But I do think having written music and shows and, you know, the creative side, I would look at someone and they're like, this whole album is, sorry, I need a drink. This whole album is like AI. I would say to them, can I turn the volume up then, John? Is that okay? Okay. If they said, I used all AI, I'd be like, cool. But in my heart, I'd be like, you are missing out, in my opinion, on the flavor of creating something that you get to release. But maybe they get gratification or satisfaction or value in the fact that like, I did an AI album. Like, good for you. Like, cool. I don't take it personal. Like, I really don't care that much, to be honest.
Well, taking it another step further, do you think AI could ever direct a show? Do you think you could ever have it to where you can have just AI sit there? I'm going to take a vacation. AI is going to direct.
If that's the case, I've been missing out. Because I would be like, can I, wait, hold on. Can I drop a script in and say, block the show for me?
I bet you could.
What?
I mean, it may not be, but again, that's a question, right? I mean, is that, first of all, is that the best thing to do? Is that, like, would AI, honestly?
I have two questions. Do I like the cast?
Yeah. So you really do just drop that PDF in there and be like,
if you don't like the cast and you want to go on a trip to Costa Rica, drop it in, I guess. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that because that takes away the texture and the flavor. Yep. Like, I like having human connection. Like, you miss out on more. Blocking is one facet of it. When you're blocking, you're inspiring, encouraging, hopefully educating, growing. There's a lot that goes into just directing. So I would never give that up. Not as a control thing, but the value of art itself.
It's hard enough giving it up to another human, let alone an AI.
And ultimately, the audience is still coming to see a performance by live actors.
Yeah, well, that's true. Our job as directors is to be the audience's eyes and feelies. You know, you want them to. So AI's not looking for that. We are.
To be their feelies?
Okay, well, I had three daughters growing up. I don't know. Okay. Whatever.
No. It's
okay. Be quiet. You just read some ad that I still am gagging on. So whatever. Alfonso, any follow up to that, buddy?
Yeah, I mean.
Please.
Yeah, I'll transition back into it. More of just like where theater is more vulnerable, because we talk about it's human connection. That's what's so cool about theater specifically, is you have those one-on-one moments. This is kind of a broad question too, but where do you think that theater is most vulnerable when it comes to AI, where AI is right there ready to take something from theater that's going to lose that human connection?
I think missing the human connection is what the biggest, I think, fear could be. If it becomes AI directors and AI producers, music directors, whatever it is, then you lose that. You lose that community, you lose that chance of helping people grow on a personal level. And like, even Alfonso, you talked about to me privately, but we're going to talk about publicly now. You talked about going to see a show where they ended up playing like a Broadway track instead of the person singing, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I won't name the theater, but
please don't.
What happened is that, and I don't know if this is what you would consider ethical or not, but the director went up to the audience and said, hey, our actor couldn't perform this song. He's having issues with his voice. We're going to drop the Broadway track on there and have them lip sync and then perform to that. Have a great night, guys. And then the curtain came up. And my thought was, wait a minute. Like, can you offer a refund maybe? Because I came to see live theater. I didn't come to see a Broadway track that I can buy and I can listen to in my car.
Right.
So I was very insulted. Very insulted. Me personally, it's like, okay. And I'll say it. Like, I'm not going to go watch a show there. Because I felt that was really disrespectful to the audience.
Right. And that's what the AI tag into that. What happens when actors stop being able to perform and AI is the voice on stage now? And so that human connection, then you might as well just be a movie or a musical on TV.
Exactly.
You
know,
or a movie. So, or, yeah.
And that's not the first time that's happened. You know, those same...
That is illegal, by
the way. Yeah.
Well, those same two guys I was talking about earlier, my friends, the violins. Oh, yeah. So we were watching... oh, gosh, this was years ago, but it was Sarah Brightman from Phantom of the Opera, mm-hmm. Who played Christine, and she was singing at, it might have been the Tony Awards, I don't know what it was, but she was up there, and we were listening to her and singing live, and they both looked at each other, and they've got, I don't know, their hearing is amazing. They hear stuff I've never seen. They're like, they both notice at the same time, they're like, this is right off the soundtrack. She's not actually singing that.
What?
And I'm like, how can you tell? Like, this was supposed to be a live performance. She's lip syncing. So they were all upset about that.
Was it actually her voice that was being lip synced to them?
It was her. She was lip syncing to her own recording. I still think
that's
recording.
Shady, but at least that's a little more like, well, that's actually me, but I do think that's shady.
But if you're going to do something like that,
tell me.
At least tell me up front and say, hey, you know what? We're offering refunds for the next 10 minutes. You know, or like at least you can walk up right now and we're going to delay the show. You can get a refund, but whatever you need to do.
On you and you're like, oh, I'm
but to
stuck.
Be like, to pull a bait and switch on me like that, that's not right. Okay. That's not right to a paying customer. Yeah, but.
And then there's the flip side to it. It's like how big was the cast?
It's a full-on production.
So yeah. So full-on production and it was just one person?
It was one person,
yeah. So, they, I mean, they probably, that's a... That'd be a rough decision to make. I mean, because I know just people would be trying to do anything to not cancel a show. It's like, show must go on. Is there anything that we can do? Now, maybe that would have drawn the line, but I mean, I could see they're sitting there looking at the rest of the cast that worked so hard to do it. And like, is there any way we can keep this show going?
And I do agree that was in their brain. If they're humans and they're directors and producers, they're like, crap. We have an audience that just paid, that pays for our bills. But I also think there's some integrity, ethics, legality things that pop up. But I would even go out to the audience if it was in my hypothetical situation. I'd go out to the audience and be like, hey, here's our situation. Our lead sounds like I do right now, raspy voice. And like, they're just not going to be able to sing for you today. However, we do have an actor that's willing to stand out to the side and sing his part for him. If you're down for that, totally cool. If not, we'll have you come back to another show. I don't want to say the refund word, but if you need a refund, we'll totally honor that as well. Right. That's what I would do. Or I would cancel the show because you're tricking them. And that's,
well, I've been in shows with Legendary where we've canceled shows because we've had an artist that was that was sick. And it's like, well, we're not going to push them. And it's best to just give the audience the best show that we cancel. Let's just cancel it.
That's true.
Because your brand is ultimately most important, right? If you do something like that, right, and then you get a sold-out house and they're seeing it produced that way, you're not going to get them coming back.
That's, as much as I love understudies, but you never want your understudy to go on. And there's been times where someone that was a lead, quote-unquote lead in the show, you know, I don't like the word lead, but had a bigger track, and they're like, I can't make it. I'm like, oh, I have to ask the understudy. Not that they're not good, but they have not got the same amount of love or practice. And you're like, oh, no.
Wait a minute. You don't like the word lead, but I'm not allowed to be annoyed at Thank You Five?
I don't like lead because I think everyone's as valuable. And I think everyone's a lead in a show.
Yeah, I don't like Thank You Five because it's stupid.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Well, Alfonso, though, I was curious, though. What was the attitude like with the rest of the audience, would you say, I mean, were they going along with it? Were there other people that were as outraged as you?
They went along with it. They went along with it. And I remember looking around, I was like, am I the only one here? Like,
everybody just kind of resented the audience for that.
Or
didn't
you just sat?
Everybody just sat. Well, we didn't have a choice. I was sitting in the first row and he spoke, or she, whoever it was, they spoke. And then the curtain came up and I was like, I didn't even have a chance to stand up. Because I was
trapped at that point. Would you have walked out if he gave you the option?
At that point right there, I would have said, you know what? I'm free next week, and I'd rather see him then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and because I would have. Because I specifically came to see that part. I love that. And I was like, oh, I want to see, because it's like, and it's like, well, I've already heard the Broadway track. I'm not going to pay $35 to see it on stage, you know, lip sync. Yeah. So, no. Yeah. But, no, we didn't get that opportunity. I'll follow back up, though. If AI had existed 20 years ago, right? How would your life be different now in the theater? would you say it would be any different at all? Or
not in the theater world, but my punctuations and spelling would be great. I kind of have run-on sentences all the time. And
Wait a minute. That was around 20 years ago.
Spell check?
Yeah.
Okay, well, wow. It was so bad. It was so bad, spell check goes, what's this, I guess. No, but I don't think anything would change as far as art for me. Maybe formatting if I use that, but I really don't use AI a lot, to be honest. That one time you had me do it was the first time I've ever done that, and I loved it. And occasionally I'll do it, but I have friends that will edit my things, the director's notes, they'll go over and edit. You've done a couple for me, and my uncle, he'll help, and just people in my life, I give it to them because I don't want to lose my voice. And sometimes I want it to be not proper. You know, I want it to sound like me. So I don't want AI to go, this is the way it sounds. No, what? I want you to say feelies. I want you to say whatever my verbiage is. I want that to be what comes across because that's what I want people to receive. So I don't know if it would have changed a lot for me as far as structuring and spelling maybe, but I already use spell check. So,
and you know, think about AI and use of computers in general. I mean, how many theaters use computers these days to help run the shows and such? And I remember, you know, when that argument came out too, it was like, oh, the computer generated sound, but now, oh, what about the sound men? What about the lighting technicians? What about the, you know, it's
not, and we still need them.
And we still need them. I don't. It all evolves, and you know what? The next generation is gonna be shocked. I mean, they'll look back and be like, "Well, when I was your age, all we had was ChatGPT." But you see what Elon Musk is talking about now? Like the implants in people's heads.
I'm not doing that crap. No implants in me, bro.
I read the article. It was saying like they would be able to perform the miracles of Jesus with this new implant.
Is that what it said? Really?
Yeah.
That's
wild. I'm sure he was being sarcastic, like, you know, with that. But yeah, I won't think about that. You got something surgically implanted in your head, and the thoughts just literally came to you. It's like,
I don't like that.
Wow.
I'll fight that one.
Yeah, we'll fight that one because that's the next generation.
Yeah.
We don't have that yet.
Yeah, I'll fight that one.
If it were here, we'd probably be using it.
And you know, I will not implant nothing. I barely, no.
And the thing is, if we're fighting that, though, we're starting at the base level here because it's going that direction.
No, it
really
will.
Is going that direction. Yeah,
but we wrap it up, right?
But yeah, but interesting topic, guys. I feel like that's going to be a lot.
All right, so we're agreed here. Like we're somewhat accepting to the use of AI, but
almost to each your own.
But no brain plants, implants. No,
not for me.
That's not happening.
I barely like Band-Aids.
And when the next generation comes out and they get those brain chips, like, you know, screw them.
All right. And with that, this has been the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. I'm Alfonso.
This is Michael. We'll catch you guys later.
Later.